a zombie-esque virus, a spirit that's alive in your house, possessing this man that is not your father who might be trying to kill you. The Amityville Horror versus the Crazies. Coming up next, let's talk about it. Hello everybody, welcome back to the channel. Thank you for watching, thank you for being here. If this is your first time here, like this video, share it with your friends, subscribe to the channel. If you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, leave us a review, leave us a rating, get in touch with us, let us know what you like, what you dislike, what we could be doing better. Movie Madness is rolling on. We have our next pairing. We have The Crazies from 2010, directed by Breck Eisner, versus the Amityville Horror from 2005, directed by Andrew Douglas. Something that I want to state off the bat is that this pairing right here, quite possibly, is one of the reasons why we came up with the categories. This is going to, because of the categories, appear as though, like, these movies are a lot closer, you know, in terms of, like, how good they are. Then is actually true. For me, The Amityville Horror is a movie that I hate. I do not like it. I don't find many redeemable things about it, which we will talk about when we get to the categories. And The Crazies is a movie that I really enjoy, that I really like. And so I think we're looking at essentially like a 4-star film versus a 1-star film. And so this is why I kind of came up with this idea of doing these categories, because this wouldn't be fun to talk about. It would just be me shitting all over one movie, which I don't really want to do, and praising another, which I will do anyways. And at least with these categories, it allows me to at least point out things about a bad movie that I do actually think are pretty good, that I do like in some respect. But it also, like, it just makes it a little fairer. Like, a lot of these movies, these horror remakes, I'm not that fond of as movies. But when you're forcing me to talk about them in these categories, well, you're not forcing me, I force myself, but when I'm forced to talk about them within the parameters of these kinds of categories, I'm forced to kind of reckon with them, find things about them that I like, and like just talk about some more positive aspects rather than just shitting all over a movie, which I know there's some YouTube channels out there, there's some podcasts out there that love to do that because it gets clicks, it gets attention. I don't really want to. Like, I'm not, like, opposed to ever giving a negative review to something. I just, it's not going to be, like, my purpose here. And so this is the number one, like, reason I came up with these categories, because I knew I would have to talk about a movie like The Amityville Horror, which I do not like in any way, shape, or form. And so it at least allows me to find some things in there, to really think about some things that are taking place, that are going on, that I might actually like, that I might actually enjoy. So this isn't just going to be 30 minutes of me shitting on one movie and praising another. I'm actually going to have to find some ways to praise one of the movies that I hate the most on this planet. So that's why we came up with these categories. Like, I'm going to have to find a way to praise one of these movies that I really don't like, but that I think I can find some redeemable things in. And so that's what we're here to do. And as always, we will start by just talking kind of generally about these movies, and then we will get into the categories. And so first up, let's just get it out of the way. Let's just do The Amityville Horror. So if you're unfamiliar, The Amityville Horror is a remake of a 1979 movie. And that movie, it's not like, it's certainly not like the first of its kind. It didn't invent haunted house horror. But that first movie is like iconic. It is like the reason that haunted house horror like kind of came up. Like, you did have all the gothic stuff from the 40s and the 50s and into the 60s, but those are like houses on hills and big haunted mansions and like stuff like that. This is just a house where something awful took place, and that the remnants of that trauma live within the house and will continue to haunt the people that live there until their dying day. That wasn't like a big thing that was took place in horror until this 1979 movie comes out, starring James Brolin, Margot Kidder, you know, these big like heavy hitters. And like, this is a movie franchise, I guess. The Amityville Horror is technically a franchise. Like, that's not well regarded by anybody. Like, that first movie is deemed a classic, and then they kind of like quickly go off the rails from there. And so remaking it in 2005, I guess, does make sense. it is kind of like, we can update this, we can tell the story again. Unfortunately, like, they, all the things they chose to do, I think were the problem. I don't think there's anything inherently wrong with wanting to remake the Amityville Horror. I do now. Like, if you wanted to make this movie in 2024 or 2025, I think that would be a huge problem, because we've had movie franchises like The Conjuring, like Insidious, that have capitalized on this idea. I don't think we need it now. But in 2005, I think that's a pretty good idea. Unfortunately, this movie gets, like, wrapped up in rights disputes, because this is based off of a true story, and the people that this was involved with like to sue people, like to sue whenever somebody makes a movie about Amityville. And, you know, they've had various contracts in the past with, like, they didn't want to be disparaged in any way, shape, or form, and or they wanted to have say in how things were portrayed. That's kind of, like, what's taking place here. Or they're claiming that they didn't get paid for, like, the rights to, like, it's a whole mess. Not to mention, there's probably plenty of YouTube videos out there where, like, that attempt to, like, debunk Amityville Horror and, like, kind of prove that, like, maybe these people are lying. Maybe these people are not telling the whole truth. I'm not interested in what actually took place. I am interested in this movie. This movie that is made by, you know, MGM and distributed by Anchor Bay. So here's another Michael Bay production. Again, he's all over the place in these early 2000s remakes. And it stars Ryan Reynolds, Melissa George, Chloe Grace Moretz, two other kids. And then you have a brief, like, supporting, kind of, like, very, very small role for Philip Baker Hall, who I love, but doesn't have much to do in this movie. And essentially, what this film is about is at 3:15 one morning, Ronald DeFeo Jr. murdered his entire family. And, you know, a year goes by, and we meet Ryan Reynolds, and he has this girlfriend, and she has three kids, I believe. I think so. I think three kids, and maybe just two. No, it's two. I think she has two kids. No, maybe it is three. I don't know. She has children. And, you know, Ryan Reynolds has recently come into their life, and they're trying to, like, you know, they're trying to live the normal family life. And they find this house that's too good of a deal to be true, because it is. And they move in, and weird shit starts happening. And I think that right there is a perfect setup for any movie. I mean, you can always ask the question of, like, well, why didn't you just leave? And why didn't you just do this? But I think, like, you know, they make a pretty good point of saying, like, they've tied their entire finances into this house. Leaving, like, yeah, okay, you could leave, but where are you going to go? You know? What are you going to do? And so I think, you know, all that aside, I think they come up with plenty of plausible reasons that why they can't leave, not that they don't want to. But I think, like, some of the big issues here that I have with this movie, right? Like, let's just look at this, right? So first of all, this movie is made for $20 million. It makes over $100 million. This movie is a smash hit. And people, they didn't like it at the time. This movie is very poorly reviewed. But it made money. So I'm kind of surprised we didn't get, like, another one. They didn't try to remake some of the other older ones that are out there. The movie makes a lot of money. It does what it's supposed to do. I think it's kind of crazy that this movie cost $20 million. I'm struggling to see, like, where all the money went. This is largely a single location movie. And granted, it's a very nice, like, house. Very nice, I would assume, a set on the inside. But I know that they, like, I know they paid quite a bit of money to reconstruct, like, you know, the creepy half moon thing on the outside of the house, like the iconic imagery from the original. I know they paid quite a bit of money to remake that, but certainly not $20 million. So where do you get off, I guess, paying $20 million for a movie and then you have your CGI look this shitty? And that is a big issue that I have with this movie. There's two of them. Maybe three, but this is definitely one of them, which is they took, like the first movie is so kind of eerie and unnerving, and it's paced like a movie from the 70s, and so I think they wanted to get rid of that. I kind of have two issues that are intertwined in one, which is that this movie is 89 minutes. The original Amityville Horror is 2 hours, and I think like maybe it's just a touch over that. And so in that original movie, you have time to sit with these people. You have time to learn about them as characters and care when they start going mad and when the father like is maybe going to murder them, you know? Like, you care about that because you've had so much time to sit with them and to see these strange occurrences happening around the house. And this one, like, this remake with Ryan Reynolds tries to kind of, like, put that idea, like, on an expressway and just, like, get you to the end by, like, adding all of these cheap, horrible-looking CGI jump scares. And they look like shit. I'm sorry. Like, they look awful. All the CGI in this movie looks terrible. And, you know, big, big surprise that Michael Bay is involved in a movie with the bad CGI. Like, they try to get around, like, storytelling and, like, character building by just cheap visual effects jump scares that look awful. And I think that is the biggest crime of this movie. The other thing would be that, like, none of these people, like, talk to each other, which is, like, the very first night they're in the house. It's an intimate scene with Melissa George and Ryan Reynolds, and they're kind of sharing a nice intimate moment on their first night of what they believe is going to be the rest of their life. And Ryan Reynolds, like, sees a dead girl in the room, and he, like, just doesn't say anything. And Melissa George, like, a couple days later, like, sees the letters on the fridge arranged into, like a message, of like a sinister message. And she never is like, hey, did you do this? She just, like just... All these, like, these people notice things happening, and they don't say anything. They're not like, hey, what was that about? Or, like, the fact that, like, Chloe Grace Moretz, who is fine, she's doing the best she can, she's a very young child in this, how she has, like, her best friend, like, her imaginary friend in the movie has a bullet hole in her forehead, and she's never like, what's that about? You know? Like, so many just stupid things that, like, if characters would just talk to one another, like, we probably could iron this out pretty quickly. And then you get to the ending, which I think is just a mess, where you have, like, well, the Native American stuff, and, like, I think if you're updating this movie, if you're updating, like, this is a thing that you can get rid of. This is, like, this all, like, terrible, terrible thing that, like, would have been fine in the 70s, and you're just, like, gonna leave it in here in 2005. I would like to think we were a little bit more, like, I don't know. I think this whole thing can be cut. I don't think we need any of this stuff, like, with the Reverend who, like, did awful things to Native Americans, and so, like, that's the spirit in here, the spirit of this reverend, and he's going to do, like, I don't get any of that. Like, I think you can just cut all of that out. It is so stupid. Like, if this is the case, right? If it is the case that you have this reverend who did awful things to Native Americans, and, like, it's, like, this angry spirit, I believe it is the spirit of the reverend who is possessing Ryan Reynolds. Like, why do I need any of this? Like, why show us the opening scene of Ronald DeFeo, like, murdering his family? Like, why can't it just be, like that is what is possessing them? This evil thing of Ronald DeFeo, like, is possessing them. I guess they're trying to show that, like, this thing has a pattern. It's happened more than once. But still, I think, like, that in itself is enough to be like, oh, okay, like, the spirit of Ronald DeFeo is going to attack Ryan Reynolds for him to also kill his family. Boom. Problem solved. You don't have to include all this stuff about this awful man who did terrible things to Native Americans, which just feels way out of date. It just feels like you're, like, adapting a movie from the 70s, where this is a 70s subplot that you could just cut for modern audiences. You don't need it. We don't need that. But that is why I think the Amityville Horror sucks. Let's talk about The Crazies. The Crazies was released in 2010, so it's one of the later movies we have here in the movie madness bracket, and it's about a small town in Iowa where a sheriff, his deputy, and like his pregnant wife are trying to figure out investigate some strange occurrences that have been happening. It seems like something has impacted the water supply. People are slowly like losing their minds to this zombie type thing, and they are investigating. And I think this is a great movie. I think it's a lot of fun. It is based off of a George Romero movie, and that original movie, I think, is just kind of like a mess. Like, it follows like government agents, and it follows survivors at the same time. It's kind of cutting back and forth between government agents and scientists in labs, like trying to like figure out all this stuff out. I'm glad that this movie takes the approach of like, man, we don't need all of that. We don't need the government's perspective. Like, it's just going to be, we're just going to follow the people that this is directly impacting. I think that's a smart choice. I think like that is a way that you could update this story, like just cut out some of the nonsense, make it really like centralized and focused on this one group of people as they try to navigate A, what is going on, and B, figure out what is happening. And so this movie stars Timothy Olyphant, Rhoda Mitchell, Joe Anderson, and Danielle Panabaker. Oh boy. And directed by Breck Eisner, just with a screenplay by Scott Kothar, who also was the writer of the remake to Texas Chainsaw Massacre. So again, these people, they keep coming back. They keep circling around. They're involved in these things. There's this weird like group of people that have their hands in a lot of these horror remakes of this time. Maybe because that's all they could get funded. I'm not sure, but the same names tend pop up quite a few times. And so, yeah, I think this is a really good movie. It's really tense. There's a lot of great scenes that we will talk about. There's a lot of good performances that we will talk about. If anything, we'll talk about it. I think the ending is what is weird about it. There's some weird pacing things where they end up in the school for a period of time, and like they end up escaping just to go back to like their desolate town and like trying to like figure out and like where to go next. Like, I don't know, there's some weird pacing things in here that I think could be fixed, but all in all, I think it's a really, really solid movie. It's just a good time at the movies that have some good scares, some good performances, some really awesome makeup. Like, they wanted it to be kind of like zombies, but they didn't want it to be just like zombies, which I think is a good choice, especially since zombies are such a tired thing at this point. But I really like it. You know, I think you should check it out if you haven't, and now we are going to get into some categories. And our first category, as always, is Best Scene. This is the award we owe to the best scene from one of these movies. And now, like I mentioned, I had to find some ways to recognize the Amityville Horror. And so there's a lot of great scenes in The Crazies. A lot of them. A lot of really good scenes. There's the scene at like the diner near the end, which I think is really good. But what I think is the best scene from The Crazies is also going to fall into another category. And so I didn't want to pick that. And so I think the best scene from these two movies is the babysitter sequence from the Amityville Horror. And this is a sequence that's kind of lifted directly from that original movie. It follows, like, the babysitter gets trapped and is freaking out and, like, all this stuff. Like, I think it's probably the only scary scene in the movie because it's one of the only scenes that doesn't rely on some kind of cheap, like, jump scare. I mean, I think there's some bad CGI in the scene, but the scare itself doesn't come from a jump scare. It's just, like, genuine terror on the face of this babysitter who gets locked into this closet, right? And I think that works. I think that works. It's a simple idea. You take it from the original. You're paying homage to that movie that you're remaking. All of that stuff kind of works in its favor. And so I really like that aspect to the movie. Probably one of the only scenes in the movie that I like. So yeah, best scene goes to the Amityville Horror. Moving right along to best actor. And quite possibly, this could go a lot of ways, you know? I think this could go to Timothy Olyphant from The Crazies. I think this could go to the sheriff deputy from The Crazies, whose name I'm blanking on, but I think is really good. This could go to Ryan Reynolds. And in fact, the award goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
Ryan Reynolds from the Amityville Horror. And let me explain why. Modern day Ryan Reynolds, I hate. I don't think he's funny. I don't like his whole shtick. I'm not interested. I'm not interested in anything Ryan Reynolds, because you're going to get the same performance every single time. And he wins this award because this movie proves he can do something that's not that. And while, yes, you know, before he starts going crazy and wants to kill everybody, he does have some quips. He has some snarky remarks, which I'm fine with. I'm fine with those. I think in modest, like modestly used, Ryan Reynolds can be funny. When he's not being some like over-the-top asshat, sarcastic nimwit, I think he can be quite funny. It's when, like, that is the only note to his performance that I really don't like him. So he has a run, like, in this early 2000s, probably right up until the point where he's Green Lantern, that, like, I actually think there's some good stuff in here, you know? And there are times when that character that he plays over and over again works for him. I think of a movie like Waiting. I think that works in that movie. If that was him in this movie, it wouldn't work. And I think this movie proves Ryan Reynolds is capable of doing things that are not that. And so, like, he wins this award because I want to see Ryan Reynolds give this kind of performance again. I want to see him, like, challenge himself to do something that's not Deadpool, that's not the same attitude in every single movie. Because he's very good as this, like, menacing father-like figure who might kill these kids. And so I like that, and I'm giving him this award in a hopes that he accepts it with gratitude and will take on more challenging projects, rather than just the ones where he can cash his $20 million check and phone it in a performance he's given 100 times before. So Ryan Reynolds, congratulations. I also want to note, the reason this is not going to Timothy Olyphant is because I think Timothy Olyphant is just kind of doing the Timothy Olyphant thing. You know, he's just kind of doing what he does in a lot of movies, which always works for me, but maybe isn't the most exciting performance. Not to mention, this goes back similar to something that we were talking about with, like, the trio in My Bloody Valentine, which I think this trio works really well together. He works really well, like, with his wife in the movie. So I don't know if there's any singular standout performance, but Ryan Reynolds, congratulations. And now we have the Eye Roll Award. This is the award we give to the best writing. The movie that makes me roll my eyes the least amount of times is going to receive this award. Yeah, this is not even close. The Crazies wins this award. Like, and they win it handedly, like by a landslide. There's so many things in the Amityville Horror that when I see that, I go, what the fuck? God, I hate that. And there's not that many things like that in The Crazies. Like I like I said, I do think it has some issues. I do think it, like, I don't think it's a perfect movie. One of them being, like, when we figure out what is happening, right? We figured out that there is this biological agent that was on an airplane that crashed into the town's water supply. And how do we figure that out? They take, like, a U.S. government official hostage, and he, like, tells them what was happening. Okay. Maybe that's a little heavy-handed, you know? Maybe it probably, this feels like a very much like a scene that, like, you use because people were confused as to what was taking place. This very much feels like a reshoot that a test screening was like, wait, why? What happened to everybody? Why are they like this? Like, you get to the end of the movie and then people, that's still all they want to know is, well, why are they like this? And so you add in a scene like this where you just have this exposition dump of, well, they're like this because there was a chemical agent on that airplane and they crashed into the water supply. And you if you're not like a brain dead zombie in 3 days, you're fine. And it's like, well, that raises way more questions than you gave answers to, which is like, well, what do we do about this? And what is the U.S. government doing about this? And I don't know. I find the scene completely unnecessary. I don't think I really needed to know what was happening. Like, as soon as, like, we see the downed airplane and we know that it is, in fact, the water supply that has affected them, I'm good. You know, I don't need to know anymore else. I know what caused it. I know that there must be something there that was doing it, so I'm fine. And there's just, it's just a weird, awkward, like, let me tell you all this information. And then you can just carry on with what you're going to do anyways. So they don't do anything with this information. So why do we need to know it? It very much feels like the scene in the season finale of The Walking Dead, like the very first season, where it's like, we're going to go into this lab and we're going to tell the audience all kinds of things about the zombies. It's like, yeah, I didn't need this. Like, I really don't. But that's fine, you know? That would be the big scene from The Crazies that makes me go like, oh, Jesus Christ, why are we doing this? Other than that, real solid. Real solid script, real solid idea, real solid story. And now we can move on to the best kill. For best kill, this is kind of an unfair category for these two movies because there isn't really a kill in the Amityville Horror that I can think of. Like, I'm certainly not going to pick Ronald DeFeo, like, murdering his family. I'm not going to pick that. And I'm not going to pick, like, Ryan Reynolds killing a dog. Like, that's fucked up. Other than that, there's no other kills in the Amityville Horror. It's like it's a haunted house movie. And so this win goes to The Crazies, which has some decent contenders. I do think, like, it's a really creepy scene of the man who's, like, one of the first people infected, and he, like, chases his wife and kid, like, through the house and, like, locks them in and burns the house down. Like, that's a really creepy and effective scene. But without a doubt, hands down, the strongest scene in the movie, the scene that it's going to win best kill, is when they escape from the school compound and they go back home. And they, like, the people, so in the opening of the movie, a man, like, walks onto a baseball field with a gun, and he seemingly is the first person that is, like, affected with this disease. And Timothy Oliphant has to shoot him and kill him. And fast forward to they escape, they go back home, and, like, the family of the people, of the person that he shot, have been infected with, like, the water supply. And so they are there, and, like, they're, like, holding them hostage, and, like, they have to... There's a really great tense scene with, like, a great couple of kill sequences from Timothy Oliphant, like, having to, like, take a knife out of himself and then stab, like, the woman. Like, really, really great stuff. Great scene, great sequence, high tension, lots of intensity, like, good stuff. Great kill, great scene. Moving on. The best villain. Who is the villain of the Amityville Horror? That's a good question. I mean, you could say it's Ryan Reynolds. You could say that it's Reverend whatever who's, like, possessing them, I guess. And who is the villain of The Crazies? Well, I guess you could say it's the zombie-esque people, maybe. But they didn't choose that, you know? So the winner of this award goes to...
And the Oscar goes to...
The Crazies? I guess... The Breath of Fresh Air Award. Which one of these movies do I think breathe fresh air into this original movie that updated it, did the best remake, made me excited for potentially what would be coming? I don't think there's any, like, real clear winner here. I think I would pick the Amityville Horror if, like, if we didn't get, like, three movies a year that had Amity something in the title. I quite honestly think that this franchise has been ruined forever. Like, because Amityville is a place, it can't be, like, a trademark thing. Anybody can call anything Amityville. And so, like, I think that has really ruined whatever potential franchise you could have here. But I wouldn't mind, like, seeing family move into that house, or, like, maybe, like, I don't know, something happens. Some sort of exploration. Like, they did it before. There's four or five of these movies that came out through the 80s that, like, you could check out. Maybe I'd be interested in seeing, like, some of those, but I think the actual winner for this award is The Crazies. And, like, this is kind of what I was saying at the beginning, where, like, the thing that really, like, kind of, like, drives me crazy about this is how they end the movie. And it ends the movie, like, with their whole town being exploded. It's kind of the only way to, like, wipe out the virus. Timothy Oliphant and his wife are, like, out of town, they're walking towards the next town, and then you get, like, this zoom out, like, kind of drone shot of, like, they're being watched by the government, so the government knows that, like, they were in that town and where they are and where they're going. It just asks the question of, like, well, okay, well, what's going to happen next? What's going to happen? And we never really get an answer to that. And I think that, I don't think I really need to see what's going to happen next, but it's kind of the only one of these movies that's asking that question of what happens next. So I will give it the Breath of Fresh Air Award. I also do think it does the best job of remaking and updating this original film from the 70s. Like, the Amityville Horror does it in the worst possible way, by, like, taking basically the same structure and just applying modern-day special effects, which look awful. And the crazy is at least taking the core idea, like, morphing it and changing it into something new, but that still has the same DNA of that original movie. So, breath of fresh air goes to the Crazies. Congratulations. And which of these movies am I the most likely to watch again? The winner is The Crazies. I probably will watch this movie again. I don't want to watch the Amityville Horror again, but there's just something about it that, like, it makes me want to watch it until I like it. Like, I do like the general premise. I don't like where it goes. I do like Ryan Reynolds. I do like the kids, and I like the wife. There's things about that I like, and, like, I want to like the movie. Like, there's something about it that keeps making me be like, maybe this time something will click. Maybe this time something will click. And maybe that's never going to happen, and I will just keep forcing it and hating it and hating it. I hope that's not the case, but, like, I want to watch The Crazies again, but something tells me that I will watch The Amityville Horror again. And I don't know why. I just, there's something here that's going to click eventually, and I'm going to like it. I got to find it, you know? And then if you are watching the award tally, the winner with the award total of 5-2 is The Crazies. The Crazies is moving on to the next round. So congratulations to them. The Amityville, sorry, time for you to pack your bags. But that is all I have for you today. Thank you for watching. Thank you for being here. Let us know what you think about this matchup and about these movies down in the comments below. We can continue the conversation there. If you are listening to this on a podcast app, make sure you are leaving us a review, leave us a rating, get in touch, let us know what you thought about the episode. And until next time, keep watching good things, keep enjoying what you love, stay safe out there. Goodbye, everybody.